So we're going to be in the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, and there we hear the question, what does it mean to walk by faith? The statement in Habakkuk is, the righteous shall live by faith. We're asking, what does that mean? So many questions are being asked right now, many different answers, many different opinions, and all these questions have to do with COVID-19. They have to do with the stay-at-home orders and social distancing, and certainly right now we're asking a lot of questions about the economy. And let me just say that every one of these questions is very important, because the way we answer these questions impacts real lives, our livelihood, our health. But can we just stop for a moment as Christians and let's ask another question? The question is, what does it mean to live by faith? The righteous will live by faith, Habakkuk says. What does that mean to live by faith and to live faithfully? We're to walk in faith regardless of the circumstances. Now, let me narrow down the question just a bit. What does it mean to live by faith when we're in a situation that we can't control? What does it mean for the righteous to live by faith when they have to wait? And when waiting challenges the way we relate to God and the way we relate to people. Well, you see, as Christians, we believe in God. And we relate to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, and removing them as a barrier to God, opening the door into the very presence of God. Jesus was raised from the dead for our justification and our life. Life is different for us. We're Christians. We relate to God through Jesus. We relate to God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells a Christian, and we are born again by the Spirit. And now the Spirit living inside of us produces the cry within our hearts, Abba, Father. So our whole lives are different. That means that we see everything in light of God's purposes. We don't see the situations of life, including the one we are in, as accidental, as natural events, or even as social conflicts. We believe in God. And so we believe that God is always working, even when we don't understand how God is working. And by the way, we usually don't understand in the moment how God is working. So what does it mean to live by faith, to live in faithfulness in times like these? Well, let me also say that to live by faith doesn't mean we stop thinking. It doesn't mean we stop having opinions. It doesn't mean we stop making decisions. But it does mean, above all, that we trust God and that we prayerfully wait on God so that we don't sinfully act ahead of God, that we keep at faithful obedience to God. This is what it means to live by faith. So Habakkuk is a very good book to guide us in the life of faith. And I'm going to read from Habakkuk chapter 2. So I'm picking up in the middle of the story, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about it and give you the context. But for now, Habakkuk, I'm going to pick up reading where Habakkuk has just complained. He's complained that God has let his people sin the way they are, and then that God is going to let the Babylonians overtake his people in exile as judgment against their sin. And so Habakkuk is questioning God and God's ways, and he's just complained, and then he says this, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post, and there I will wait to see what the Lord says and how the Lord will answer my complaint. And then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God, or the righteous will live by faith. Now, the Lord has just said there are two kinds of people in this situation. One, there's the proud, the puffed up, the arrogant people whose souls are not right within them, and they're pursuing their own ways and trusting in themselves and not thinking about God and His plans. On the other hand, there are the righteous. The righteous are so by faith, and the righteous are therefore faithful to God. It seems almost like Habakkuk himself is being confronted with a decision. Which one is he going to be? Because you see, he starts out complaining to God about God. He's complaining about God's ways. But he eventually, as we'll see, gets to a place where he's trusting God. He's taking joy in God, but God has to get him there. So let's set the context to understand what's happening here. It's about 600 BC, about 600 years before Jesus. And God's people, Israel, are now divided. They're divided into two kingdoms, as it were, like the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, because they've had so much internal conflict. But they have spiritually gotten to the point where they are now practicing idolatry and they're committing other severe sins. And so the book of Habakkuk starts out with Habakkuk, the prophet, complaining to God about having to see Judah's sins. He says, "How long, O Lord? How long will you make me look at all this sin committed by your people?" And he actually says to God, "How long, God, are you going to sit idly by and watch your sin, watch your people sin?" Well, the Lord answers, chapter 1. I mean, very quickly, the Lord answers Habakkuk and he says, "I'm going to do a great work. I'm going to do a work, Habakkuk, that even you wouldn't believe if you were told of it." The Lord said that he is going to deal with Judah's sins, but he's going to do it by raising up Babylon to come and overtake them and to exile them when Babylon is a pagan nation. And to that, Habakkuk says to the Lord, "What are you thinking? Really, Lord?" I mean, he says, "You're God and you're holy and you're just. Can you really do this? Are you really going to let the Babylonians come and capture your people and exile them? Because these are the people who take innocent people in war and they get wealthy off of them. And then they brag about it. They worship their own accomplishments. They don't even know you. Surely, God, you would not use the Babylonians to discipline us and to bring us to repentance." And then Habakkuk says, after he complains to God, he says, "I'm going to station myself up here on this watchtower, and I'm going to wait on you, God, and I'm going to wait till you defend yourself." That's what he's saying to God. You have to defend your actions, Lord, and I'm going to watch. So that's where we read. We pick up, the Lord says, here's a vision. He says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a vision. I want you to write this vision down, write it on tablets. I want you to run with its message, and I want you to know that this vision is going to happen in time. Now, it may seem slow, like it's not going to happen, but it will, and so you're going to have to wait for it." And it's the Lord who says there are two kinds of people. He says the proud and the puffed up, the arrogant, these are the ones who are going to ignore God's vision. They're going to ignore God's revelation of himself and of his ways. But then there's the righteous. And the righteous are the people who are going to believe God's vision. They have faith in God's vision. They trust in what God has to say about himself and his ways. But here's the question: what is the vision? Because our faith and our faithfulness and that of the people of God in the Old Testament was tied to the vision. So here it is, beginning in chapter 2. Verse 5, the Lord said the vision is this. He will discipline his people, Judah, for their sins, and he will use Babylon to do it. But then he goes on to say that he's going to judge Babylon for her sins against Judah. In fact, the rest of chapter 2 are what we call woes, where it's like saying, "What sorrow there is for you in this," and they're all woes against Babylon. What sorrow there will be for Babylon because of her dishonest gain and corruption, her violence, her oppression, her murder, her idolatry. So judgment for Babylon and for all the nations is as sure as discipline is for Judah, God's people. And then God, in this vision, these are his final words, the words of the Lord. He says, he's speaking of himself. He says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." This is the vision that God's talking about. His own sovereignty, his own holiness, his own justice and wisdom and power and might and goodness and mercy. He says he's in his holy temple and now all the earth has to keep silence before him. That's the vision. That's what we put our trust in. You see, the vision is not a personal dream about how we're someday going to make it big. It's so interesting that people, even Christians, use this passage about, you know, the vision's going to happen. It might be slow, but hang in there. Hold on, because it's going to happen. And they apply that to some personal dream about how they're going to make it big and they're going to be successful. That's not at all what Habakkuk's vision is about. The vision in Habakkuk is not even a promise that we're going to have a trouble-free life, even if we follow God. The vision in Habakkuk is a vision of God's work, God's sovereign character and nature, and then God's powerful, right, and true, and just work. The vision is of God's plan being accomplished in this world and God's rule being acknowledged in all the earth. Why is that a good thing? Because God is good. Because God is wise. Because God is merciful. Because God is just. God is always just in his ways. And all of God's ways are right. This is the testimony from beginning to end throughout all the Bible, all of God's revelation of himself, that in his power, his ways are always just and right. God is always working toward his good and right end. That is a sure promise that he gives us in Habakkuk and all through the Bible, most certainly in Jesus Christ, even as he died on the cross. And who would not question that without knowing the will of God? And yet the Lord says, even that, even the cross of my son, I will use for the good and right end of saving a people. God is always working for the good of his people. God is sovereign and he rules the world. In faith, we will always look back. We will always look back on God's works and say, that was good. That was right. That was true. And that's the vision. Habakkuk questions God, and then God in turn gives Habakkuk a vision of himself, the vision of his goodness and his holiness and his power and his just and righteous work. Well, in chapter 3 of Habakkuk, Habakkuk finally gets it, and he offers up another prayer. This time, it's not a prayer of complaint to God. He's not questioning God anymore. It's a prayer of faith and trust and praise and joy. This is what he says. He says, "Okay, Lord, now I've heard all about you, and I am filled with awe by your amazing works. And in this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy." He says, "Lord, work again, just like you did for your people in ages past, work again." And aren't we saying that today? Lord, work again. You've shown your power throughout all of history with your people. Lord, work again. Habakkuk goes on to say in the third chapter, he says, I now see you clearly, God. I see you in your splendor, your brightness, your light. I see your light flashing and filling the earth and moving through the desert and coming down from the mountains. Habakkuk says, I now can see the nations trembling before you, God, because of your holiness and your power. But this is what he also says. He says, I now can see that you're going to save your people. I now see salvation. In fact, Habakkuk says that he is physically shaken by this vision of God. He actually says his legs tremble and wobble because he is so weak. And Toward the end of the third chapter, he says, so I'm going to wait quietly. I'm going to wait quietly for the Lord to do his work. When you see God, you stop talking. Sometimes I catch myself talking before I even think. I catch myself talking before I even pray. I catch myself talking like I know more than God knows. But Habakkuk teaches us, when we see God and all of his power and all of his mercy, we just stop talking. We wait. But that's not even the end. Because Habakkuk goes on to say that in his waiting, this is how it closes, he will rejoice. The end is rejoicing. He says, I will rejoice in you, Lord, even if the fig tree and the vines aren't producing. I will rejoice in you if the fields are not yielding crops. I will rejoice in you if the flocks and the herds die or are missing. I will rejoice in you. I will rejoice in you, God, because you will finally save your people. And even now, you are giving your people strength to run the way of faith, the way of faithfulness to you. What does it mean for the righteous to live by faith? Well, to live by faith, we don't need to try to draw a line between coronavirus and God's judgment on a particular nation. The historical setting is different. The place in salvation history is different. And we don't need to try to identify any current nation with the nations of Habakkuk's day. And we don't even need to know the mysteries of God's purposes and behind his ways in the current events. Some of these things are just hidden from us. They're not revealed to us. But this is what it does mean, because the point is plain. It means we trust God as God. For the righteous to live by faith means that we trust God as God. It means that we trust that his ways are right and good, and he's never, ever out of control. It means that we can trust that God is working right now to accomplish his plans. It means that we can trust that today is a day of mercy. In your anger, Lord, in your wrath, in the hardness of these days, show your mercy. We can believe this is a day of mercy. It means to walk by faith that we are faithful to what we know. And what we know is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is sovereign, and that he is merciful, and that we follow him. All the visions that came before Christ finally get us to Christ, who will put down evil once for all and save his people and get us safely all the way home. That's the vision. We're awaiting that vision. That vision hastens to an end. So take that vision and do what God is calling you to do with that vision in your life today. Take that vision and figure out how it works in your life today as you walk by faith as one of God's children. Father in heaven, thank you for Habakkuk, this powerful, beautiful word from you that encourages us so today. Lord, may we hear it, may we ponder it, may we let it read our own hearts and minds, may we open ourselves to it so that we would be the righteous who live by faith, so that we would pray again, Lord, in these days, do your work again, so that we would come to the end and be rejoicing no matter what the hardships of the circumstances, because we have seen your salvation. Encourage your church today. Above all, Father, what we want for Grace Community Church is faithfulness. What we want for Grace Community Church is hope. What we want for Grace Community Church is love, love for you and each other. What we want for Grace Community Church is to be called Christians, because we are walking, living by faith. Let it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.